What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. And it's 2019. First time I've ever said that on the podcast. Happy New Year. Congrats to everybody who made it safe. Peace to the ones who didn't. And hey, man, it is what it is. 2019. And soccer-wise, year started off with a bang. Like, it's pretty amazing. Like, Liverpool and Man City played on, what was it? New Year's Day was Tuesday. Then there was games Wednesday. And I think Man City Liverpool played on Thursday. And I don't know if they scheduled this ahead of time, but to have that game to be the last game of the opening day fixtures for the 2019 year, calendar year of Premiership soccer, and for it to coincidentally be between the two top teams fighting it out at the top for supremacy of the Premiership is serendipitous. Is serendipitous. Yes, that's the word. I say words really well in my head, all right? It's just when I have to say them out loud, that's when they come up fucked up. But before I even get into that amazing match, just want to inform you of our sponsor. It's onthevolleyapparel.com. And if you go there, and you can get tank tops, hoodies, t-shirts, sweatshirts with soccer hip-hop emblems. So go there, and they got some nice stuff. When I wear it, people compliment me all the time, and they also can outfit your local soccer team. So if you have a local soccer team and they're looking for like uniforms to wear, they got you. So go to onthevolleyapparel.com, use my promo Comic Rant, and get at least 20% off. It was 30 for December, but I think it's back down to 20 now. So go there, and my homeboy Elvis will lace you guys up. Now, back to the Premiership 2019, which is the continuation of the 2018 season. And yeah, I just want to do a quick one, you know what I mean? Get a podcast in before the games next week. And I'll mention some FA Cup scores. It's just the third round, so I won't go deep. It's just too many games. And I know it's been a few days since the Premiership games, but it's New Year's. Had to get over a hangover. But so let's go. Liverpool is at the top of the table. They have 54 points, the same amount of points that they ended last year with. They battled a battle of battles against Man City, who was second with 50 points. And all I have to say is, what a game. Like, pretty probably the most intense game of football I've ever seen put on by two sides. Like Man City edged them by a minor degree of intensity. And to me, that's where they won the game above tactics. Like, tactically, they both matched each other superbly. And skill-wise, they both matched each other equally. And technically, they both matched each other equally. But where Man City had the edge above and beyond setup, because the setup was incredible, was the desire level that Pep, like, ratcheted his team up to. Like, they had more to lose And maybe Klopp had, it's harder to hold on to something than it is to want to get something, you know, I feel like. And, you know, the hungrier person usually beats, when all things are even, the hungry person usually beats the full person, you know? And at this point of the season, Liverpool are a little bit more satisfied than Man City. And it's just an intense game. It's so intense that Stones trying to clear a ball was blocked by his goalkeeper on its way to the net. And Stones, I don't know how he got up that fast. Like, his hind legs are on springs and gets back up and saves that goal from being an own goal by his own goalkeeper. So on that, in an interview, he said at that moment, that's when they knew this shit was real. And that's when Liverpool or Man City's intensity said they turned it up. And even speaking to Vincent Kompany after the game, he said that's the most intense game he's ever played in. Like, the most he's ever gave. He said 15 minutes in, he looked up and thought half an hour was going to be gone off the clock. And he looked up and it was only 15 minutes into the game. He's like, shit. And just everybody gave. Just everybody gave. Sterling was out there doing his thing. And I watched like a YouTube show, like a pregame show, where they said that Sterling usually doesn't show up against Liverpool, and statistically it was accurate, but he showed up this week. He definitely showed up this week. He put in his shift. You know, it's when, like, everybody did overtime in regular time. Everybody did time and a half in regular time. Like, they really earned their money. Early in the game, like in the 30th minute, I think Vincent Kompany definitely should have got a red card. And one of the reasons why I say so, for his tackle on Salah, not because he didn't connect with Salah. Salah jumped over it. But in the last 2 weeks of football before this game, and even in a few instances, I think in this New Year's weekend or midweek, it felt like a weekend, I've seen people slide, miss the player, and get a red for that exact same tackle. So that is definitely a high possibility that Kompany could have been sent off and Man City could have had no beef. That was definitely a dangerous reach. And Salah actually should have just taken more of that on. But we're talking about intensity. I'm gonna go down the players in this game. See if I can point people out that played. It's hard to point people out in this game who played above and beyond, because I feel like players on both sides played above and beyond. You know, even the ref refed above and beyond. Like, the crowd did their thing. People at home watching did their thing. You just could not be a bystander and not, like, have your energy go into this goddamn game. And Man City won. They edged them 2-1, but they edged them on just determination, just a little bit more. And I'm not saying Liverpool wasn't determined. They were very determined. There's so many good performances. You know, Van Dijk was killing it. Lovren was killing it. Andy Robertson, Alexander Arnold, like the goal that Liverpool scored was like Robertson and Alexander just being pinging balls cross field to each other with such, like, nuclear weapon, key punch grid accuracy to each other like it was nothing. And it was a cross from one to the other. And I think Robinson put it back in the box and Firmino headed it into the goal. Like those right backs, these fucking kids, they young as shit. And the things that they can do with the confidence from the moment they started playing for Liverpool, like they just declared themselves, not just Liverpool players, but like starters for their countries. It's pretty amazing. England is like the country of backs right now, left backs and right backs. Robertson is from Scotland, but you know, you look at the Spurs right and left backs, Shaw from Man U, Townsend, we just got backs. England got back. But just amazing performances. Wijnaldum, it's the least I've ever seen Wijnaldum in a game. And I'm not saying he had a bad game, but I didn't see a lot of influence from him, but he was in a midfield where Bernardo Silva was showing people who didn't believe he was a baller, because I heard one of the Neville brothers like say he didn't know if Bernardo Silva should have started, but he was completely impressed. I was like, have you been watching this guy? He took a season to get completely acclimated, you know, when I think he came in like last year, but he's completely and totally acclimated now. Or maybe he came in 2 years ago. But yeah, he's acclimated, bro. He can ball. David Silva was probably a little bit of a no-show, but Fernandinho was just winning balls from day one. He's like, he stands right in front of the defense, but he plays like a defender all over the field, box to box, running all over the place, just polluting the field with energy, with carbon, CO2. Sterling and Sané, like Sané's goal was fucking incredible, just world class. And I feel like Pep directed Sterling and Sané because they were both doing the same thing. Like when you get the ball, go at the defenders, go at them. And Sergio Aguero, he scored an impossible goal with no angle, top corner, top shelf, just like picked a square in the net that he wanted to hit and just pinged it past the keeper. Like, you don't think you're going to get beat there. But Aguero was like this guy is so good, right? He is so good, but he's not the best forward in the world. Like, that's how good. Like, when I saw that goal, it just reminded me of how good he is, but also reminds you of how much better Messi and Ronaldo is. Like, there are some good forwards in the world right now, like Cavani, Higuain. Mbappe, and even though Mbappe has a World Cup, is he as good as Ronaldo and Messi yet? And there's more. What's the guy at Monaco? He's Colombian. Can't remember his name right now, but there's some really good fucking forwards in this world. And there's others I'm not even mentioning. Harry Kane, just all these good forwards, not on the level. Even if the level of Messi and Ronaldo's coming down, and when they were at their peak, these guys who are fucking amazing have not reached those guys' level. But soccer is amazing, man. So Sergio Aguero scored. Sané scored the winning game, winning goal after Firmino diving header tied it up. Just back to Liverpool, Salah put in a shift. Like his move to control the ball, turn on Bernardo Silva, split the defense of Man City, get that ball to Mane, who put it on the post, that caused the panic between Edison and Stones, which almost ended up in Edison knocking the ball into his own net and Stones saving it. It's It's just crazy, man. Shaqiri came in, Fabinho came in, Sturridge came in. I think Liverpool should do themselves a favor and play Sterling more, you know, just so that the front three of Liverpool going into the rest of the season can get like a rest so that they'll have like some edge and some energy left for the rest of the season and just some gas because you're going to need it. You know, it's like you have this guy, he can score. You know, if you start him for 20 minutes, like let's buy like Firmino and Salah or Mane a little bit more rest. Like, you know, you have Shaqiri, but he plays behind them when he comes in. So just buy some rest. Like, Liverpool has bench. They need to use it more. And the crazy thing about this game in particular, when I saw at the end of the game, when I saw the bench players for Man City congratulating the players on the field from Man City, you saw like, oh shit, that guy didn't play? Like, Walker came in late. So they had Walker on the bench. That means like Mendy Not Mendy. Danilo put in a solid shift, right? Solid shift. Delph is out with cards. He got a lot of cards over the Christmas, so he has to stay home and read his red cards, open his red cards. And you see, De Bruyne wasn't in the game, right? Mahrez wasn't in the game. Gabriel Jesus wasn't in the game. And they threw in a Gundogan and a Otamendi. I mean, City is pretty deep. Like, all these guys I just mentioned could have started and it wouldn't have put a dent in the strength of the team that they did start. So, Jesus Christ. So, who do I think is going to win this title? I hope Liverpool hangs on, but it's going to be tough. It is going to be tough. And if you had to win a game, that's the game you had to win. But let's see how much winning this game took out of Man City. They have Wolves next. And Wolves are predators. They have been surprising some of the big teams. They went up to Wembley and put it to Spurs. And they've fucked with these teams before. And I think Wolves lost this week, or this midweek. So they're going to want to get some points. And if you play open against them, it's even probably better. But I still put my money on Man City, the games at Man City. And Liverpool, they play Brighton Hove, which is what you need to get some points. So, you know, they might be able to, Liverpool might be able to reinstall their, what was it, a 7-point gap or at least a point of it based on the results coming up this weekend. Tottenham is third. They have 48 points and they just ran through Cardiff effortlessly. Hey, Cardiff, you must have really celebrated your New Year's Eve. Because you were just what the Spurs ordered. Pretty much dominance from beginning to end. It was not difficult. Maybe the danger is when you're Cardiff, you know you have a home game, so you celebrate New Year's Eve in your own town, and then you feel like you can stay up later and go harder because the grounds are right there. And if you're a Spurs, you're like, we just lost and the game's in another town. So I don't know if they spent the night in Cardiff. And if you did you really stay out that late that night? Because it's not your town. You're not around the influences that you would be if you stayed in London. to like really celebrate New Year's? Did you leave early in the morning to come up there? I don't know how it goes. But Tottenham looked like they had a good night's sleep compared to the Cardiff players. And this was a pretty easy 3-0 victory. Now, what won't be easy is when this weekend, on Sunday, they face Man United, the brand new United. Brand new Man United. Spurs faces brand new Man United. And this team is reignited. And I think Spurs beat us this year already. But that was... And Spurs, to be honest, is playing at home. And they are like the more... They've had... We're in form. We just won 4 in a row. 5 if you want to count the FA Cup against Reading. But Spurs is like, they know their system. They know it through and through. They know how they play. And they're Spurs, you know? And I think there's a stat where Spurs has won like the third most games between 2018. So they just haven't won a title. They just haven't won anything except, you know, amount of games. So a high amount of games. So I think Man U can beat them. Man U is going to be coming in with their new style, where they're more aggressive and more attacking and going after the game, which is going to leave them vulnerable. And Spurs is a sharp-ass team with finishers. And but this is just, you know, Spurs has to try to stay third or catch Man City, who's going to be playing Wolves, like I said. So they have a chance to like win, get the whole 3 points and tie with them. But it's not going to be easy because this is a different Man U. And well, I'll talk about Man U's approach more when I get down to sixth place to talk about Man U. But Spurs had a good New Year's. How about that? Chelsea is fourth with 44 points. And they tied against Southampton. And my homeboy Lee was like, I think we can get these guys. We can get some points. You know, we can get a point. We could tie them. And he was right. It was right. Like Southampton goes to Chelsea. And gets a point. And they started Morata. And I feel bad for Morata because you could tell he has some confidence issues and the team or the coach, sorry, doesn't have confidence in him. And Morata dives out of desperation to try to get penalties, which he did in this game. It's like, come on, man. You're embarrassing yourself, B. Every time Morata, if you're going to dive when there's actual contact. Don't just see the guy in front of you and throw yourself to the floor. Or just see the guy in your periphery and be like, I'm down. Like, the guy you saw was on the Southampton bench. Nobody was close to you. Get up. You look stupid, bro. But in Morata's defense, there is a goal he did score in this game that was called offside, and I've seen it several times. And that goal was not offsides. That was a goal. It was legit. And it was a pass, I think, from Cesc, who played his last Premiership game for Chelsea. He's going to Monaco. He's transferred out of here. Peace, Cesc. It's great having you. And I think that's another thing. I think he should have been played more too before they sold him. Like, he looked like he could play in this game. And I'd see him on the bench a lot. I'm like, why aren't you not playing him? Like, just to rest up, you know. Like, Cesc could play a holding midfielder and do some of the things that, you know, that, is it Jorginho? I say his name wrong all the time, so I want to say it right. Let me see it. Southampton. I just feel like Cesc can do some of the things that Jorginho is doing. So I don't know. And I feel like sometimes Jorginho, the times when Chelsea like didn't beat teams they should have, like, you know, arrested Jorginho, and because of you played a assess, could have helped you win some of those games. And then now they're getting rid of Cesc, and there's nobody like him on the team. So, you know, I question that transfer. For sure. But, Chelsea definitely should have won that game. It's not a great call, ref. Way to fuck up Morata's confidence. Now he's really going to dive in the next few games. And they play Newcastle next. Winnable game, but so is Southampton. And it's at Chelsea again. So let's see how Chelsea's going to... Like, I heard they're going to try to get Cavani for £50 million, which is a deal. This guy is legit. But I wonder if it's too late. But if you do get him in the transfer window, Chelsea, you definitely are back in this title race. Cavani is a beast. He's a monster, and he can fucking score. He has not slowed down. Him and his huge cranium will head the ball harder than most people can kick it. And yeah, so it'll be good for him too, because he's if I was PSG, I wouldn't give him up. I wouldn't sell him. Like, I like their three-headed monster, but maybe they feel like they need to defend more. But, you know, like, Barcelona's had a three-headed monster for a decade of dominance. So why give that up? I don't get that. Unless you have somebody coming through the pipelines that I don't know about that you're going to replace him with. But, hey, Chelsea, if you can get him, take him. Arsenal is fifth. They had a really good outing against Fulham. Hey, they fooled their goals with goals. And it felt like one of those Arsenal games that they could lose at first. They went up two, then Fulham pulled one back. I think Camaras, the guy who refused to let Mitrovic take the penalty like a game before, the last game of the New Year's, but Mitrovic scored anyway. Later on, after Camaras missed the penalty and saved Camaras' life. And yeah, they still played him, and he got a goal back, and it was 2-1. You're like, oh, because Fulham was creating some chances. Like, you can cut Arsenal up, apparently. Like, Fulham did. They just didn't finish. Sessegnon had a few chances. He should have had the first goal of the game. So Arsenal is carverable. But they do play some pretty sexy, intricate football. They flipped the shit out of Fulham's defense. They just flipped their way around it. And Kolasinac had a good fucking game. I've never seen him come forward that much. Just came right through. But Arsenal, good way to start the year, because they're starting to fade, and you're starting to believe in them a lot less than I did at the beginning of the season. You know, in their last five, they've had a loss to Southampton, who has their new coach, and they beat Burnley. Then they drew with Brighton Hove. Then they lost to Liverpool, which is understandable. And they beat Fulham. So yeah, they're pretty checkered right now. They're getting kind of suspect, Arsenal. Like, is Arsenal gonna fall back to the Wengers? To the Wengers Arsenal? And here's the problem with Arsenal to me. People are saying they need defenders, and they were injured a lot against Liverpool. Like, that, those defenders that they put on the field, it was like, yeah, that seems about like a 5-1 defense, you know? And, you know, the defense you could put five by. And Liverpool did that. But and they were susceptible. Like I said, Fulham did come through on them and make their chances. They just don't have the finishing. But the problem with Liverpool, with Arsenal, is their defensive midfield. Like, Torreira is not as good as the commentators have been saying. And he proved it in the Liverpool match when he got, like, ragdolled and slid like a kid on one of Firmino's goals. Like, he's not, Xhaka's not good enough, and he's not good enough. Not to be, these are not those guys. The holding midfield, the classic, the ones that you rate amongst the best. Like, that's, to me, is where Arsenal is like Chelsea got midfield. You know what I mean? Like, Liverpool got midfield. At least, if not the guy, the midfield of Arsenal, like, the defensively, does not play as strong as Chelsea, does not play as strong as Spurs does not play as strong as Man City, does not play as strong as Liverpool. And they may not, now that Man United has got their shit together, their midfield defensively might not be as strong as Man United's. So that's going to get you slid down the table a little bit. And I wouldn't look for a defender. I'd look for, like, keep just going through players until you find a guy. Because you've been looking for, like, defensive midfielders since Vieira. And was it Edu? It was Brazil. You just haven't found him. You haven't found him. Or you haven't, like, created, like, that midfield defense. You can attack beautifully. But midfield-wise, you're lacking. Or you have to coach those guys into being more defensive. But it's not there. It just doesn't seem like it's their nature to be, you know, to play defensively in the midfield at the level you need to in this league based on the teams above you and the ones that are hunting you from behind. Man United is 6. And, yeah, New United, baby. 4 wins in a row. I see 4 green lights. Last red on this table was when we played Liverpool. And we only lost 3-1. I say we only lost 3-1 because Arsenal lost to them 5-1. So we actually weren't that bad. But we've got 3-4 greens. And last one, and they're teams we should beat. But, you know, Chelsea didn't beat Southampton. They should have beat them. You know, you can get got out here. You know, Man City got by Crystal Palace and Leicester. So I'm not saying anymore, oh, well, it's just this. It's just Huddersfield. It's just Cardiff. It's just Bournemouth. You know, Bournemouth can beat you. Newcastle can beat you. So we beat Newcastle 2-0. We didn't look the greatest we've looked since we've been coached by and managed by Solskjaer. But it does prove, you know, a game like this proves we can win games like this. Like, no goals in the first half. Newcastle set up to not give a shit. Grinches. A great Grinch coaching job by Benitez. But, in the second half, we subbed out Mata and Martial, who's been a good player for us since Sonogoskar came. And we put in Lukaku and Sanchez. And immediately, like off the first kick of the ball, like, Lukaku came in when there was a free kick. And they were setting up for the free kick. So that's when he came in. Rashford took the free kick, swerving, dipping ball, low, awkward for the keeper, who didn't hold on to it, and Lukaku was in game shape from the moment he came on the field, because he's only been on the field like 28 to 31 seconds when he put that ricochet in the back of the net. So he came on the field play ready. You know what I mean? Not like, hey, I need two touches to get into the game. First touch ready. Boom, back of the net. So good for him. Good reflexive, I'm ready to play this game now, move and go. And then, we just kept on playing. And Sanchez, whose first few touches weren't great. They were like Mourinho Sanchez touches, you know, the touches he would make under Mourinho. But in a moment of calmness and hopefully like renewed Sanchez, he got a ball, I think, from Lukaku, turned, split the ball in between two Newcastle defenders, and calmly, at the right pace, served at the right heat, a ball on a platter to Rashford, who has just been scoring out the back of his head, who calmly and coolly, as well as he was passed the ball from Sanchez, put the ball in the back of the net, and Manu goes up 2-0. And yes, we did look vulnerable. Newcastle had their chances, and they gave it a go. But we win a match we should win that could be difficult, 2-0 at Newcastle. And we have 38 points. We are sixth. And now, this weekend, we play Spurs. And that is our biggest test under Solskjaer. And it's going to be one to watch every week. And the Premiership serves you up one of those games that you cannot miss, whether you're a fan of the team or not. And this weekend, it's Spurs versus Man City. And, man, it's going to be it's one of those, homie. It's one of those. So Spurs versus Man United, what am I saying? And we're going to attack them, I hope. I hope we go at them. Just even if we lose, I want to see what we got. Don't you want to see what we got? Like, I know Spurs is dangerous. They're lethal. They can score. And if we give them the chances that we gave other teams when we attack them, they can punish us. But we need to find out how good we are against top teams. So we tried the defensive way with Mourinho and we didn't get great results. And in some of those games when we went down, we did come back and put up a fight. So how about we just start with a fight? Throw the first punch, the second punch, and the last punch and see how we are, just to see how we are compared to these teams fully. So that's how I'd like us to go at Tottenham. Yeah. When they're bowing to say hi, you punch them in the fucking face, you kick them in the shins, and then you knee them in the nose, and then you punch them and you hook them down, and then you stay on top of them, put the pressure on them, and see if they can break out of it and if we could keep them pinned down for the whole 90 minutes and come out with all 3 points at Wembley. Like a Man U team should. So we'll see. Leicester is seventh. They have 31 points and they beat Everton. And Everton fans are disappointed, as they should be, because what the fuck is going on, Everton? Your personnel is a little bit better than Leicester's right now. But Leicester is a tricky team. They have beaten Chelsea and they beat Man City. So, but then they lose to Cardiff. So it's like, which Leicester's going to show up? Oh, yeah, the one that can beat Everton. And I think Everton had the most half chances in this game between two teams. Like, it was a game of half chances. And Everton half, they out half chanced Leicester the whole game. And there was some bad touches in this game, and one of those bad touches led to the Leicester goal when the, I think it was Keane, a defender from Everton, miscontrolled the ball. Ricardo got the ball, did not fucking think or wait 1 second. He just passed it into the path of a barging Vardy. One touched it, I think, or two, maybe, but the second touch, ball, corner pocket, side of the net, out of the goalkeeper's reach, Vardy style, like a classic Vardy goal. Like, that's Vardy all day. That's how he scores, a ball down the middle into his on-running path. He reads those. He makes those runs all the time, and he's there to connect with you if you can give him that. And bam, back of the side of the net. One goal, and that's all it took. Leicester hold on, and they move up the table, and they are seventh. Watford, they are eighth, and wow, what a game against Bournemouth. 3-3, so fucking crazy. Down at Bournemouth, Bournemouth doing their style of like, we are going to score some goals, and Watford carved them open for two goals immediately in the first half. And Bournemouth is like, oh yeah, well, you know what, we down two while we were attacking, so the only way to get back in this game is to keep attacking, so fuck it, fuck our defense. So they keep going, and then they get two back, and then they say, shit, we got two back, fuck it, scoring is our best defense, so just keep trying to score. But then Watford is like, you should have defended. Bam. And that goal, I think his name is, let me find out the name of this guy, because he had an assist to Troy Deeney on one of Troy Deeney's goals. I think for Troy Deeney's first goal, a great cross. Troy Deeney headed it in the net. But this motherfucker, man, where is he? Where is this game? So it's Watford. Here it is. His goal, Ken Sema, also had an assist to Troy Deeney. Man, what a flamethrower off the left foot. One touch to put the ball down and one to just hook it straight into the back of the net. Keeper, like, he was on it. He was over there, but you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that. And 3-2. All in the first half. All in the first half. That's all. This game was just first half. Second half, there's no way the second half. Just leave. You know how people leave games early? Because the game is over? Just after a 3-3 first half, just leave. It's not. Beat the traffic. Beat the traffic. There's no way it's going to live up to that. That's the only time you should leave early, when it's like 3-3, 2-2, you know, 4-4 in the first half. You just know the second half just can't sustain this. Just can't sustain this power. You know, don't leave half when your team is down 2 in the second half with 3 minutes left. They could come back. But if you want to leave when the score is 3-3 in the first half, the second half's never going to leave. Just, you want to leave on a high? Leave. Go home early. But Watford goes up 3-2. And then this equalizer from Bournemouth was just pure, had class just draped all over it. Had like the goal had like the long gloves that come up to a woman's elbow. Just elegance, just dripping with diamonds, you know. Just the goal just had a tiara on it. It just, like, you know, just had cufflinks and a tux. Like, they go down the right of the field, the ball is crossed in, and not one but two Bournemouth players dummy this ball. Like, did they talk about this? They did this as if They dummy the ball. It gets to Frazier, and he pats it in the net. Like how do you practice a double dummy? Like, this is intuitive football. Like, it's like the only thing I can compare it to is like one of those handshakes that you practice for hours with LeBron before you go out to get the intro for the basketball game. Like, but this is done without practice. The double dummy, then Frazier, like, everybody knew where everybody was. Just threw the whole defense of Watford off, and bam, Frazier. And he scored in the 40th minute. And just, you know, fuck it. Just go home after that. Frazier also, I think, had an assist, so he had a great game. And Nathan Aki, he scored. Callum Wilson, Troy Deeney got two. Amazing game. But, you know, Premiership starting the new year off right. Then we got Watford. So that was Watford. Wolverhampton, they played Crystal Palace. And it's just, you know, the other Crystal Palace showed up. Now, you would think Wolves, after beating Tottenham away, home, like, for me, I just thought, all right, I know Crystal Palace can give you trouble, but after they beat Tottenham at Wembley, Wolves got this. But again, this is Wolves at home. They spent New Year's Eve at home. I'm going to go with my New Year's Eve theory. You spend New Year's Eve at home because the game is at home, I feel like you partied harder than the team that's coming in that had to wake up, get on the bus, and drive into your town. So they had to wake up early. That means they couldn't party late, you know. Or if they stayed the night in your town, they don't really know your town. So they really can't party that hard, you know, like if they were home. So you come into town and you just whoop the ass of the part of the team who stayed home and partied for New Year's. You know, even though this game was on Wednesday, the second, but yeah. You just have less of a hangover. So Crystal Palace, good 3 points against a good team to start the year off, and you need it. And West Ham, another good game. Brighton Hove, surprise, 2-2. Two teams going at it. Brighton Hove's like, fuck it, man. We got to get these points. This is the desperation half of the year, you know. So it's like, and Brighton Hove has been doing well. So, and West Ham has been doing well. So two teams that have been like putting in performances and getting points going at each other, you know, and Chris Hughton versus Pellegrini. And so I guess 2-2 is where this shit should be. You know, I think Brighton Hove is determined to stay up, and they're in a stay up position. They haven't been in threat of relegation this season. And, you know, they got 26 points, and I'll get to that. And they face a West Ham team that's 10th with 28 points. So it's like, fuck it. They're within range of tying 2-2 with each other. Everton is 11th. Like I said, they lost to Leicester on that shock Vardy goal, and they couldn't get it back. And it's just Everton, man. They're just off, man. There's something not clicking. You know, there's something off. Like, the chemistry ain't right. I don't know if you give the coach another season to get it right, because you keep firing people, so they can't get it right. And you got this hodgepodge of players. Some of them are good. Some of them are not playing at their peak. You know, like, you just need somebody to either get it right, or you give this guy another year to do it. But I don't think he's that great of a coach either. Or this could be the place where he learns to become that. So I don't know. You play Bournemouth coming up. I don't know if Everton could beat Bournemouth, even at Everton. I mean, you just lost to Leicester at Everton. So that's a toss-up. Bournemouth, they're 12th. They're right behind Everton, not just on goal difference. They have -9. It's hilarious. Everton has 0 goal difference. They have the same, they've let in the same amount as they score, 31-31. And Bournemouth, they open, boy. They have a -9 goal difference. Man. So Everton can get some goals from Bournemouth. They'll give you a shot to score. I just think Bournemouth had some horrendous losses lately, like the 4-1 to Man United and the 5-0 to Tottenham has were the teams that really opened them up like that and gave them that goal difference. What up, Dean? Dean just walked in the middle of the podcast. He's staying here for a few days. But yeah, so that's Bournemouth. Down the table, Brighton Hove, like I said, they're a fighting team. They're not in danger, and they're doing their thing. They just had the draw with West Ham, and this week they play Liverpool. Liverpool need this. And they got Man City breathing down their necks. You know, hair is standing up. They can feel that breath on the back, and they got to pick up their pace and keep going. If they play with the intensity that they played with at Man City, they should have this as difficult as a problem that Brighton Hove can present themselves to be. Liverpool make some subs, play some people that didn't play, ratchet up their energy, and get at these boys down at Brighton Hove, and give Chris Eubanks a rough time if you want to stay ahead of Man City. If you lose this week, I don't think you can hang on. I don't think you're going to get it together after this. You have to win this week, I think. I usually don't give people have to games, because all the games are have to games in that case. But I just feel like in order to just ease some pressure off yourselves, you got to win a game that you should win. And this is it. Crystal Palace is 14th, 22 points. And you beat Wolves. Great. You got 22 points. Your next game is against Watford. Like, you guys are all in that same region. Watford's a little bit ahead of you, so I think Watford could take you. And you're playing at Crystal Palace. You could either tie them or lose to them. Or, you know, I don't know which Crystal Palace is going to show up. I kind of know the identity of Watford. Like, they're kind of like, they're eighth right now. So they're, you know, they're playing like an eighth place team. They're not like, they're not Jekyll and Hyde like they've had in the past. They're more solidified now. So, but, you know, it's Crystal Palace. You don't know what they're bringing. They're definitely a losable game on as far as Watford is concerned. So it's a tough call. I'll go for Watford. Newcastle, you lost to Man U. You put up a good fight for the beginning of the new year. You're 15th. You got 18 points. Your next game is against Chelsea. That's going to be difficult. You are at Chelsea. You might be in for another loss. Which Burnley will be happy to hear, because Burnley's 16th. They're right behind Newcastle, and they got 18 points. They're tied for 18 points. It's all goal difference. Burnley's let in a lot of goals this year. They are -21 in goal difference. They've scored 21 and let in 21 more goals than they scored. They've let in 42 goals. So Newcastle, one of their problems is trying to score. You can get some goals here. You know, like Newcastle is better defensively. They've only let in 29 goals. So they could beat a Burnley who's susceptible, unless Burnley's changed their style. Like, what was Sean Dyche, was he going for it at the beginning of the season? Was he trying to do Bournemouth style? You know, or was this just his defensive team letting in goals? I'm not sure. But Newcastle can beat Burnley, my bad. and they're right next to each other in the table. So if they want to play, they can play musical. This is a musical chair game. Exchange places. Somebody take somebody's chair. Cardiff hovering above the bottom three, 17th place, 18 points. They're right there, and I would say they could catch Burnley or Newcastle, except they got to play Tottenham. Well, they lost to Tottenham 3-0. Understandable, completely understandable. It is Tottenham. Your next game is against Huddersfield. They're at the bottom of the table, and you can. I could say you have a slightly easier chance of an easier game than Newcastle and Burnley do against each other. So here's a chance to get 3 points. You're at home. Come on, cuz. No pressure. Have some fun. Go out there and get these 3 Huddersfield points. Start hoarding. It's that time of the year to start hoarding points. Just scraping them up like a squirrel, you know, so you can hibernate, have a good hibernation period this summer. Southampton. Man. So it's funny, like on the Premier League table on PremierLeague.com, they show you the results of your last 5 games. And these, so then this is an exact mirror of the last 5 games under their new coach. So the new coach has coached maybe 6 games because they probably played FA Cup. But the last 5 Premiership games, like, are right there in front of me. So the first 2, new coach from Germany, won. Then he lost 2, and then he takes a draw against Chelsea, which is a good draw. It's a good 1 point to go to Chelsea and draw. That's worth a lot. But you're in the relegation zone. You're in, your papers are being processed for deportation. And Southampton was in this situation last year, and Hughes pulled him out of it. Then they fired Hughes. Now they got this guy. So it's just like every year you just hire somebody to get you out of relegation. And at some point, it's not going to work. But this coach was good at Leipzig. Almost won the title. Almost won the Bundesliga. So I don't know how much he needs to know the Premiership. Or, you know, he's definitely getting some results out of his players. The games he did lose, he lost to Man City. Understandable. And he lost to West Ham 2-1. You know, it's not bad. You know, you can't lose to West Ham. And then you beat Chelsea. And then before that, you beat Huddersfield. You should beat because you guys are fighting. You want to keep your feet on the back of their necks. And then Southampton, you played Arsenal. You beat them. Like, so you won. You're getting points from places where you normally shouldn't get points. So this week, you play Leicester. You could. Leicester, as good as they are sometimes, always available for a shock and loss. So, Southampton, you got a great shot this weekend at Leicester to beat Leicester with your new coach. And Fulham, Ranieri, So, you beat Huddersfield the game before, 1-0, but you lost 4-1. To Arsenal, at Arsenal. Coming up, you got Burnley. Wait, I thought Burnley had... No, yeah, Burnley has Fulham and Newcastle. So I made a mistake earlier. I thought Burnley was playing Newcastle, but Newcastle this weekend is playing Chelsea. Burnley is playing Fulham. And Cardiff is playing Huddersfield. So I think my point was Cardiff has a better chance of getting 3 points than Burnley has of getting the 3 points, but that's not accurate. Burnley has a better chance of getting 3 points than Cardiff, but they both have a better chance of getting 3 points than Newcastle, who plays Chelsea. So that was my point. So Fulham, you're 19th. You got 14 points. You're 2 points behind Southampton, 4 points behind Cardiff. You play Fulham. You played Burnley. Burnley's won their last two. I don't know which Burnley this is. Are they going to go back to the team that lost the three before that? Who knows? So that's a we'll see for me. Can't call it. But they all need points. This is the desperate part of the season, game by game. You need every point you can get. So let's see which players are motivated by this the most, because that's going to be the determining factor besides tactics and everything else. Huddersfield, you're at the bottom of the table. You lost five in a row. You lost 2-1 to Burnley this weekend. Burnley said, fuck that. We're taking these points. We're starting the year off right. And your next game is against Cardiff. So all the bottom teams are playing each other. So Burnley is playing Fulham. Cardiff is playing Huddersfield. Southampton, they're not playing a bottom team. They're playing Leicester, but they can beat Leicester. And Fulham is playing Burnley, like I said, and Huddersfield is playing Cardiff. So just, you know, besides Southampton, like, all these teams are circling each other this weekend and trying to keep each other down so that they can spring up a little bit. So that's going to be interesting. Even the bottom games are going to be kind of exciting this week. And they will continue to be towards the end of the season, because it's just that time. So this is the first episode podcast for the year. Happy 2019, everyone. Be safe. Love each other. If you want to get my album, 100% Half-Assed, it's available on Spotify, CD Baby, iTunes, and it's produced by Conan. Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic. Also, there's a lot of alsos also. My special, Ian Talk, will be coming out this year on Comedy Central. I will inform you when we have a date. And the last thing, I'm in Madison, Wisconsin this weekend. This weekend is, I think, the 9th through the 12th. The 10th through the 12th. Madison, Wisconsin, Comedy on State. 5 shows, Thursday 1, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday. Should be fun. Place is always packed. If you're there, come through. I will be at Madison, Wisconsin, headlining. And see y'all there. Have fun. It's going to be cold, but it's a great city. Love fucking Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, yeah. And they just treat comics right. It's one of the best comedy clubs in the country. So, yeah. And, yeah, I love those people. So, come out. If you're around, come to town. See me there. Have a good year, day, week, month, months, year. 1.